A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The angel brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water flowing out from beneath the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the facade of the temple was toward the east. The water flowed down from the southern side of the temple, south of the altar. He led me outside by the north gate and around to the outer gate facing the east, where I saw water trickling from the southern side. He said to me, "This water flows into the eastern district down upon the Arabah and empties into the sea, the salt waters, which it makes fresh. Wherever the river flows, every sort of living creature that can multiply shall live, and there shall be abundant fish. For wherever this water comes, the sea shall be made fresh. Along both banks of the river, fruit trees of every kind shall grow. Their leaves shall not fade, nor their fruit fail. Every month they shall bear fresh fruit, for they shall be watered by the flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit shall serve for food, and their leaves for medicine." The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, you are God's building, according to the grace of God given to me. Like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But each one must be careful how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one that is there, namely, Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For the temple of God, which you are, is holy. The word of the Lord.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken.
Verbum Domini.
On this Sunday, in lieu of the celebration of the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, the Church celebrates the feast of the dedication of the major Archbasilica of St. John Lateran in Rome. And the Basilica of St. John Lateran is the first major basilica given to the church by the Roman Emperor Constantine around the time of the issuance of the Edict of Milan in 313, which legalized the practice of Christianity in the Roman Empire and effectively brought an end to legal persecution. And this building signifies the beginning of acceptance of Christianity throughout the empire. It is the most important of all the major basilicas, not only because it was the first one given to the church, but also because it marks the location of the cathedra with the throne of the Bishop of Rome, the Pope. And prior to its dedication as a church building, the basilica was known as the Lateran Palace, since it had belonged to the noble Lateranus family. The palace later fell into the hands of Emperor Constantine, who gifted the palace to the church following the legalization of Christianity. The Lateran Palace became the residence for the Supreme Pontiff over the next 1,000 years. And even though the palace is no longer used as the papal residence, the basilica has remained the Pope's cathedra to this day. On the facade of the basilica are inscribed the words in Latin, "Omnium urbis et orbis ecclesiarum mater et caput," the mother and head of all the churches of the city and of the world. And as we know from Catholic Church teaching, especially as it is articulated in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 882, the Pope, the Bishop of Rome, and Peter's successor, is the perpetual and visible source and foundation of the unity of both of the bishops and of the whole company of the faithful. For the Roman Pontiff, by reason of his office as Vicar of Christ and as pastor of the entire church, has full, supreme, and universal power over the whole church, a power which he can always exercise unhindered. And throughout the ages, popes have been elected to the office of the papacy, and they eventually pass away. And yet the Basilica of St. John Lateran has remained to this day. This building is a physical representation of the unmovable rock of the office of the papacy established by Christ himself to govern the flock of Christ on earth, the church. However, the universal church is not limited to any mere building, or even to the Pope himself. Rather, the church is a living spiritual edifice established by Christ and constructed through the activity of the Holy Spirit. As St. Paul teaches in the second reading today from 1 Corinthians, you are God's building. Even if all church buildings and basilicas throughout the world are destroyed and cease to exist, the church would continue to exist. And this is a very important point that merits reflection. The church is not a mere physical building or a collection of buildings, nor is the church merely comprised of the Pope and the bishops united to him, as important as the magisterium is to the life of the church. Simply put, the church is the communion of saints. That is, the members of the church militant on earth, the church suffering in purgatory, and the church triumphant in heaven. And as important as physical buildings are, they pale in comparison to the importance of the living stones, the members of the mystical body of Christ, the church. In the gospel reading for today's feast, Jesus goes to the temple in Jerusalem and sees certain people in the temple who are selling animals for sacrifice, as well as money changers, makes a whip out of cords, and drives them all out of the temple area, spilling the coins of the money changers and overturning tables along the way. The physical temple in Jerusalem was meant to be a place of contact between the Lord God and his people Israel, a place where they might go to pray to the Lord and to offer their sacrifices to him. It is a physical representation of our own hearts, the place where God dwells, where we meet with him and offer our sacrifice of praise. And yet when our hearts become cluttered with all kinds of worldly distractions and pursuits, then we cease to listen to the voice of the Lord, and our interior temple becomes polluted. It is not the physical temple itself that is so important to Jesus, but the living temple of his body. In fact, Jesus does not even bat an eye when he predicts that the physical temple will eventually be completely destroyed. There will not be one stone left upon another. It is for this reason that when the Jews ask for a sign from Jesus for his behavior in cleansing the temple in Jerusalem, Jesus refers to the temple of his body. He says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Thus referring to his imminent suffering and death, as well as his resurrection 3 days later. And whereas the physical temple made with material stones is not destined to last forever, the temple of Christ's body is destined for eternity. It is into this mystical body that all members of the church are incorporated at baptism. The temple of God is no longer a mere material temple constructed with material stones, but a spiritual temple constructed with living stones, the communion of saints. And the Catechism affirms this basic truth in paragraph 756, where it says, "Often, too, the church is called the building of God. The Lord compared himself to the stone which the builders rejected, but which was made into the cornerstone. On this foundation, the church is built by the apostles, and from it the church receives solidity and unity. This edifice has many names to describe it: the house of God in which his family dwells, the household of God in the spirits, the dwelling place of God among men, and especially the holy temple. And this temple, symbolized in places of worship built out of stone, is praised by the fathers, and not without reason, is compared in the liturgy to the holy city, the New Jerusalem. As living stones, we here on earth are built into it." And as we look upon the beautiful church edifices that have been constructed throughout the world, throughout the centuries, we are reminded of this truth, that human beings are the real church building. These material buildings made by human hands merely signify the true temple of God, his holy people. In the second reading from the Office of Readings in the Liturgy of the Hours today, St. Caesarius of Arles delivers a sermon on the dedication of the Basilica of St. John Lateran in Rome. And in his sermon, he says, "My fellow Christians, do we wish to celebrate joyfully the birth of this temple? Then let us not destroy the living temples of God in ourselves by works of evil. I shall speak clearly so that all can understand. Whenever we come to church, we must prepare our hearts to be as beautiful as we expect this church to be. Do you wish to find this basilica immaculately clean? Then do not soil your soul with the filth of sins. Do you wish this basilica to be full of lights? God too wishes that your soul be not in darkness, but that the light of good works shine in us, so that he who dwells in the heavens will be glorified. Just as you enter this church building, so God wishes to enter into your soul, for he promised, 'I shall live in them, and I shall walk the corridors of their hearts.'" When we visit resplendent churches around the world, especially St. John Lateran, it can be easy to become enamored by their physical beauty and become fixated on their upkeep and maintenance. And this does not mean that we should neglect these places or fail to preserve their beauty and splendor. However, if our attention is only fixed on the preservation of church buildings or on external aesthetics, without any concern for the condition of our souls, then we miss the entire point of the buildings in the first place. They are physical representations of the beauty that is supposed to radiate from those souls that are intimately united to Christ in prayer and in good works, the works of mercy. And by allowing Christ to cleanse and purify our souls through the working of his grace, especially through the sacraments of the church, we become living temples of the Holy Spirit. As the living stones that comprise the body of Christ, the church, we become conduits of the water of God's grace that flows from the altar in the sanctuary, the Holy Eucharist, so that the grace and mercy of Christ might reach to all parts of the world and nourish other souls. And on this feast of the dedication of the Basilica of St. John Lateran, we are reminded of this basic truth, that all who are baptized into Christ make up this mystical body. We are united under the visible sign of unity in the Church, the Pope, the Bishop of Rome. We are called to act as a unified Church, thus radiating the love and mercy of Christ to the darkest areas of the world, so that all might come to believe in the gospel and find salvation in Christ.